everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahushua, Jesus our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. The purpose of this program is to go through the Bible, and I guess you could call this Through the Bible for Another Generation, or perhaps Through the Bible for the 21st Century, but it is different than the other Through the Bible program, which I listened to some 20 years ago. It's a lot different. I'm learning a lot more through these studies than was ever revealed then. It's time to move on from the milk of the Word and move into the meat and uncover, overturn every stone to diligently search the Word to find out whatever we can about what our Heavenly Father has written there for us. I don't claim to know it all or have it all revealed to me, but I will share with you what I can share with you as the Heavenly Father, His Holy Spirit, reveals it to me as we go through the Scripture. And likewise, I'd like to hear from you. Any questions, comments, revelations, you can email me at crosstheborder.org. You will find an email link there to email me. Just address the email to Nicholas or for Cross the Border, and I'll make sure that I answer your email on the air if it's appropriate, or personally if it's appropriate, whatever the case may be. We've gone through the book of Genesis, we've gone through the book of Exodus, and we finished up with Exodus yesterday. The normal course of things leads us through Leviticus. And as I was perusing Leviticus this morning, considering the sacrificial and the ceremonial system that was set up for the Levitical priesthood, and all of the particulars there, it causes one to wonder, you know, or at least it causes me to wonder, what is the purpose? And as we read into this, you see that there's this very seemingly complicated ceremonial, sacrificial system that's being described for the Levitical priesthood to carry out for the people, for the children of Israel. And causes me to ask the question, why? Why? Well, the Holy Spirit didn't take long to answer the question, why? And it's something that we all take for granted so easily, something that we take so lightly, and that the object being the gravity of our sin, the gravity of our disobedience. And I'm guilty. I do not regard my error so heavily, perhaps as it should be, that I regard it much more lightly than I should. As it seems that we all are, we don't understand the gravity of our error, the gravity of our disobedience, the gravity of our sin. And it's something to contemplate. When we realize that all of the problems, all of the suffering of mankind, that all of this springs from disobedience to our Creator. Every tragedy, every sickness, every war, all of the innocent suffering, such as we have innocent, that suffer. It's humbling to consider it and take it all in. And I would pray, Heavenly Father, that we become more sensitive to the gravity of our error, and especially the gravity of our disobedience. The cost of it has been so dear, the cost of the disobedience of mankind. We can't all take it all of it on each every one of us, as we all share in it, all the way from Adam and Eve, who ignorantly did what they did, and us being born the children of disobedience, it's in our nature to be disobedient, but we can learn obedience. I mean, our Heavenly Father is so understanding that He allows us the time to choose. He didn't just when the King James translators translated the book of Genesis, and they said, and they wrote it down this way, they said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. You know, bam. You know, that has a sense of immediate and irrevocable judgment of execution. But apparently it was not so. Apparently our Heavenly Father had a plan, and we know that He did have a plan, because He became a man, and He walked on the earth, and He laid down His life in the flesh for us. That perfect life, that only life, that only man that never sinned, that never did any act of disobedience. And the Heavenly Father proclaimed, and this is a mystery when you start talking about the Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and people go, well, how can, you know, how could Yahushua, who was God in the flesh, have been forsaken by the Heavenly Father on the cross? And I guess that's as much as a mystery as asking the question of how could He have not been forsaken. So you could ask either question, and there's a mystery there that we cannot fully comprehend, nor can we articulate that mystery to skeptics and unbelievers. But all of us that have His Spirit living in us, we understand the mystery in a way that we cannot truly articulate it. And certainly we cannot articulate it to the unbelievers who have no understanding. But we can't stand back in pride and say, well, I have understanding and you don't, because our understanding is a gift from our Heavenly Father. There's nothing that we did to deserve it or to bring it about in ourselves. But that sin that He took on Him, yes, that came from us. The gravity of our sin, that's the point when I start reading in Leviticus and try to understand why the Heavenly Father instructed the children of Israel in this way, and then understanding how we're free from that yoke of the ceremonial and sacrificial priest-temple sacrifice system. We're free from that, and we're free only by what the Lamb of God, who was slain from the foundation of the world, what He did by shedding His blood and taking all of that on Him. And as we go through it, we have to understand, yes, the gravity of our sin, the weight that is being expressed in the ceremonial and sacrificial system, and how that weight does not even come close to the reality, because the reality encompasses all of the suffering of mankind for all time. All of the disease, all of the genetic mutations, every terrorist act, every evil ruler, and it just goes on and on, the results of the disobedience and the sin of mankind. So that in understanding the gravity of the sinfulness, our own sinfulness, and especially our own disobedience, understanding the gravity of it should cause us to desire a life of holiness. It should cause us to desire a life free from sin as much as it is possible for a mortal man or woman or child to live a life that is holy to our Heavenly Father, to be free from sin. That's the point of understanding the gravity. When I started up my e-sword this morning, I got out my sword and pushed the button. Came upon a peculiar passage in Scripture. It's Luke chapter 13 and verse 1. And I'll just start there. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Yahushua, Jesus, answering, said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Well, you gotta love the King James English. Because certainly it's a very concise English, much more concise than the version of English that we practice today. But still, it is a little foreign. Suppose ye that these Galileans... Do you think that these Galileans were more sinful than you are because these things happened to them? I guess if I could express it in contemporary terms, that's how I would say it. Okay, so first of all, they brought to him news, something that happened at that season, news about some Galileans. And we don't have the particular on these Galileans. They may have been rebels. They may have got caught up innocently in something. Who knows? And their blood was probably spilled in some type of a Roman, perhaps in a Colosseum or something like that, because it says that their blood was mingled with their sacrifices, referring to Pilate, and their sacrifices to the gods of Rome. So we have a current-day news event. He says, Do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? He says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So the disciples are bringing him some news tidbit, you know, the news of the day, something they just heard on CNN, right? Or on the local news channel. You get the idea, anyway. Okay, and he goes on, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? So here we had some type of a tragedy. A building collapsed and killed 18 people in Jerusalem. The Tower of Siloam, a tower in Siloam. And yeah, that happens all the time. Buildings fall down. People get planes crash, trains wreck, and Yahshua's getting. He hears the news of the day like everyone else, and you notice he doesn't really spend a whole lot of time commenting on the news of the day. But that's why I thought this was peculiar when I started to read it. And he goes on, so he's talking about the Galileans who Pilate had caught and mingled their blood with their sacrifices. He says, Do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? He says, I tell you, no, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Or the 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, do you think that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So he's telling them that because tragedy or unfortunate accidents happen to people, that doesn't mean that they were sinners above all people, or because you have hard circumstances in your life. And, you know, there are accusations like that, that happened to him because he must have done something terrible. But Yahushua is throwing out that whole pretense or concept here. He's saying, no, they weren't sinners above all. And this fits in perfectly with what I opened this program with, the gravity of sin. And it comforts people to think that others are more sinful than they are, thus minimizing the gravity of their own sin personally. Now he speaks to them a parable. He says, A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why encumbereth it the ground? He said, Cut it down. It's just taking up space. It's good for nothing. Now the vineyard, the dresser of his vineyard, answers and says unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. I'll put fertilizer around it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. That's a funny thing, to have something like this right after you're talking about these tragedies and how the sin of these people is no greater than those who are still living or who didn't fall into these tragedies. The point is, we need to bear fruit, or unless we repent. And repentance is about bearing fruit. And the whole object, the whole focus of Yahushua's ministry as he traveled about his three and a half years preaching his message, he preached the same message continually. And it was always a kingdom message. And he began by saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we ought to pay a little more attention to repenting. It gets to the gravity of sin. We need to understand the gravity of our sin. And what is the fruit? Well, the fruit is learning obedience. And because if we're sinning, we're doing works that are contrary to the will of our Heavenly Father. If we repent, we put off the works of darkness, we put off the works of disobedience, and we learn obedience, and we do the works that He has prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. And we need to fear. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Question your salvation. A little fear and trembling is appropriate when we understand the gravity of sin and the gravity of not turning from our wicked ways and bearing fruit for His kingdom. And His patience is shown here. 3 years, no fruit. But the dresser says, well, look, let's spend a little extra attention with it. Perhaps a little more tribulation and a little more word, a little more watering, a little more dung. You know, dung is not... that's unpleasant stuff. That would represent tribulation. Tribulation to bring about fruit. You cut the vine, you prune the branches. That's tribulation. Pruning isn't fun, especially if it's you being pruned. Dig around your roots. Oh, that's got to hurt, right? Throw some dung in there. Maybe that might sting a little bit. And then if it doesn't bear fruit, cut it down. It says that he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Okay, we're going to begin our study in Leviticus. So the study in Leviticus can be somewhat tedious when you start going through the details of the temple, priest-temple sacrifice system. And it's nothing to bear when we consider the true gravity of our sin. So let's jump into it. And pretty much we're just taking off where we left off yesterday when we finished up, or last time when we finished up Exodus. It's the continuing story from Genesis, Exodus, now Leviticus. If we were to read about the children of Israel, or even mankind from the beginning of time up through the children of Israel, then this is how we would read the novel. We would be just picking up on another part, starting another chapter in the book, in Leviticus 1:1. And Yahuwah called unto Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation. Remember when we left off, they had just set up the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was the first day of the first month of the second year. And Yahuwah, the Lord, as it says in the King James English, called unto Moses and spoke unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation. So now we got ourselves fixed in time, 1 year, out of Egypt. And he said, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto Yahuwah, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before Yahuwah. So there was no forced offering here. They didn't go around with a list and have a check mark by your name if you made your offering this year. And they go down the list and say, well, your name isn't checked. It's time for you to go do your offering. No. This is, he shall bring it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle. And, you know, the sacrifice was always voluntary. And you know, a lot of people are mistaken. They believe that this is the beginning of the sacrificial system. They believe this is the beginning of animals being sacrificed. But if you were with me through my study in Genesis and Exodus, you find that it wasn't the beginning of the sacrifice. Certainly the Passover was instituted, at least in word, in Egypt. But if we recap briefly, we could say that, well, the first sacrificial event of the ecclesia is covered in chapter 3 of Genesis. Adam and Eve had committed the first act of disobedience to the Creator. They got the ball rolling, and they hid themselves, and they covered themselves with fig leaves. But fig leaves are not alive. They're not life. They don't have the breath of life in them. So they're not living creatures. Certainly, we say plants are alive, but they don't have the breath of life, and they don't shed blood. They were not sufficient to cover sin. So the sacrifice, the offering of the fruit of the ground, being it vegetables or plants or whatever, did not work then. The high priest shows up. He's walking in the garden, of course. And they say, the Lord, walking. So apparently he had feet. And he conversed with Adam and Eve, and he drew them out of their hiding place because they were ashamed, because they figured out that they were naked. They covered themselves with fig leaves, but certainly it was not adequate to cover them, the nakedness of their shame. And he clothed them with animal skins. That's the first hint of the sacrifice. Now, those animal skins came off of an animal because the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And certainly, without the shedding of blood, there is not even a temporary covering for sin. So that was speaking of the gravity of sin. The gravity was that that some animals were sacrificed for the sin of man, for the sin of those two first two, man and woman. And he clothed them with the animal skins. That was the first sacrifice that ever was, certainly. There was no need for sacrifice before that. And then we know that the sacrifice continued until Cain and Abel, who were taught the sacrifice, and they brought their sacrifices 1 year before Yahuwah. And perhaps when they became of the age of accountability, having worked as the sons of Adam, Cain, of course, working as a farmer, you know, planting vegetables and fruits and bringing in food to eat from the ground. And, of course, Abel was a keeper of sheep, and he kept sheep for wool, certainly, for the skins of the animals to dress, because they had to continue wearing clothes, and all of Adam and Eve's children, beside Cain and Abel. Though Cain and Abel at this point are the only ones that are recorded or that we're told about in the scripture, certainly Adam and Eve had more children. They were a very healthy couple, no doubt about it. And we'll pick up there when we get back from these messages. Don't go anywhere.
Of my heart, be pleased. chains of my heart.
Pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation under the heavenly Father with grace, mercy, and justice for all.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, by calling First Amendment Radio at 559-781-3773. That's 559-781-3773. Or order on the web at firstamendmentradio.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at firstamendmentradio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Listening to Cross the Border. My name's Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. I would like to hear from you. If you have anything to add to our study in the scripture, any comments, questions, whatever, I would like to hear from you. So go to my website, crosstheborder.org. You'll find a link there to email me. Okay, we're starting in the book of Leviticus. We haven't got very far because we've been busy discussing, I believe, very important things. Speaking of this priest, the temple priest sacrifice system, we're going over the sacrifice as revealed previously throughout the scripture. We spent a minute talking about the first sacrifice by the high priest of Adam and Eve right there, where he made the sacrifice and clothed them with the skins. How Adam and Eve carried out the sacrifice, so we don't have anything written about it, but certainly they taught it to their sons, and perhaps when Cain and Abel became of age, perhaps they were twins, or perhaps they were about the same age, or maybe they were paternal twins, if not identical twins. We don't have that kind of information in the scripture. But it came about that they brought the sacrifice 1 year. And I would venture to say that they had become young men or at the age of accountability to bring a sacrifice for themselves. And, of course, we read that it's a willing sacrifice. How Cain was a farmer, basically. He toiled in the ground to bring forth the fruit of the ground. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. And certainly they were clothing themselves with the skins of animals as their high priest had taught them to properly cover their nakedness, because the without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no covering. So we have the sacrifice there again. And of course, then we have, when Noah went on to the ark, he brought two of every kind of animal. It's male and it's female, but he brought seven of the clean kind. So there was a definite distinction between what was clean, what was appropriate for the sacrifice, and appropriate to slaughter and, of course, eat for the sacrifice, and what was not. So there was a definite distinction between what was clean and what was unclean. And, of course, Noah got leave at that time to go ahead and add meat, that is. And of course, it did not have to be spelled out specifically that Yahuwah was speaking only of clean meat, because, of course, he was, that he could now eat meat as a regular part of his diet and not just the sacrifice. So we see that the sacrifice was not a new thing. It was not just instituted here, but it is being codified here. And we have a temple that's been erected, and we have now a ritual sacrificial system that is being set up with priests and everything, and that's what we're going through here. We left off Exodus last time, and we see that they had just set up the tabernacle, it being the second year, the first day of the first month of the second year that they came out of Egypt. And that's where we're at now. In Leviticus chapter 1, in verse 3, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. And that was the point, that it was voluntary. And of course, that leads me to believe, and from the hints that we have in Genesis, that Adam and Eve definitely volunteered. When they met with the high priest at the beginning, I'll bet you the high priest preached a good sermon and told them everything, told them what was to come, and then he said, do you want to take part in this? Do you want this sacrifice? And of course, we see that they consented voluntarily, and they were clothed with the animal skins. A little more insight there for you. And we can thank our Heavenly Father, His Holy Spirit, for the revelation that we receive when we patiently go through His Word. He shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before Yahuwah, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He shall flay it, the burnt offering, and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the altar. And the priest, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto Yahuwah. And what is the sweet savor? It is someone in obedience, voluntarily bringing the sacrifice to the priests. The sweet savor was what Abel did. It was not what Cain did. That's what the sweet savor is. It isn't our Heavenly Father isn't up there just, you know, has us down here running around doing barbecues for his pleasure. Obedience. That's it. Voluntary obedience. And that's what I see here in this. Voluntary obedience. That's the sweet savor, is the voluntary obedience. The recognition of the gravity of our sin. And if his offering be of flocks, namely of sheep, it is the or of the goats for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it male without blemish. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before Yahuwah, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar, and he shall cut it in his pieces with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them order on the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to Yahuwah be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or young pigeons, and the priest shall bring it unto the altar, and wring off his head, and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out of it at the side of the altar, and he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers, and cast it beside the altar on the east parts, by the place of the ashes, and he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. And, you know, what I get from this is that if all you could bring is a turtle dove, so even a poor man could voluntarily show himself and come to Yahuwah and bring the sacrifice and say, yes, I'm looking forward. I accept your sacrifice. I accept the propitiation. I'm looking forward to the promised Redeemer of mankind. Because that's what it was all about. That's what Adam and Eve were doing. They voluntarily said, yes, we accept that. We want our sins covered by the blood. Now, apparently, now if we go back to Cain, Cain said no. And what did Yahuwah say? Says, sin lieth at the door, but you shall rule over it. Well, Cain didn't rule over it, did he? But the command was, you're supposed to rule over it, but remember, it's voluntary. Our Heavenly Father forces no one to accept his Redeemer. No one is forced. Like I said, they didn't go down with a list. It was voluntary here. They didn't go down with a list to all the children of Israel and check off their name. They came willingly, voluntarily, and brought the sacrifice to show themselves to Yahuwah that they wanted a part in the redemption that was promised to Adam and Eve. And that's what it's all about. It is about nothing else. It's a looking forward. And when any will offer a meat offering unto Yahuwah, his offering shall be a fine flour. And of course here the word meat in the King James means food. In this case, fine flour. He shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take therefrom his handful of the flour thereof and the oil thereof and all the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire, sweet savor unto Yahuwah. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of Yahuwah made by fire. So they were to burn a remnant as shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar. So they would take a pinch of it to burn as a memorial upon the altar, but says here, the remnant of it, the rest of it, shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is theirs, their food, and their meat. And it says a thing most holy of the offerings unto Yahuwah made by fire. And if thou bring an oblation of a meat offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if thy oblation be a meat offering baked in a pan, it shall be a fine flour, unleavened, mingled with oil. Thou shalt part it in pieces and pour oil thereon. It is a meat offering. If thy oblation be a meat offering is baked in thy frying pan, it shall be made a fine flour with oil. And if thou shalt bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto Yahuwah, and when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar, and the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto Yahuwah. And again, I emphasize that the sweet savor is a voluntary obedience. Voluntary obedience. And that's what he's looking for today. You know, Yahushua coined a phrase. He said, speaking of the kingdom of heaven, he talked about those that would take the kingdom by force. And we've seen where that leads throughout history. We have, you have certain factions in Islam following the Quran to the letter, out there forcing people into their kingdom of heaven. You know, it's convert or die. That's what taking the kingdom by force is. It's about converting or dying. And of course, we have the Inquisition of the, of that church, so-called, of the Vatican, and of historical fame. Yes, it was convert or die, recant or die. They were taking the kingdom by force. They were forcing the kingdom upon others. That, as we see here, continually throughout the scripture, all the way through all the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, there is no place for forcing people into a religious belief. There is no way, there's no place for forcing anyone into the kingdom of heaven. That would be an abomination. No one will be in heaven who hates the Heavenly Father's law. If you hate His law, if you hate His way, if you hate His law, you hate Him. Because His law reveals His character. And if you hate His law, you hate His character, you hate Him, and believe me, you will voluntarily not be in the kingdom of heaven, and you will not be there forever because you hate it. You would hate it. What would you do there? You would leave as fast as you could if you were there. So it is voluntary. That is the point. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 10, "And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of Yahuwah made by fire." So the most holy, he's saying here, is that which is a gift for the priests, or the tribe of Levi, for the priests, because they had their part in him and not in the land, as we will see when we get, as we move forward into our story here. Chapter 3 and verse 1. "And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before Yahuwah. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about." So here you are, you're voluntarily bringing your sacrifice to the temple, whether it be a female or a male. It's a peace offering. You bring it to the temple. You lay your hand upon the head of your offering at the door, and the priests kill it, and the blood is sprinkled. They take that blood and they sprinkle it on the altar round about. They sprinkle it on the altar for you. Why? Because you realize the gravity of your sin. You realize that the blood of this animal that you nurtured from a baby, from in your flock, and you know how close you can become to people can become to an animal, perhaps, especially children. To bring that little animal, put your head upon it, and have it sacrifice, its blood shed in your stead, represents nothing but an understanding of the gravity of your sin. Chapter 3, verse 3, "And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, and the kidneys it shall he take away. And Aaron's son shall burn it upon the altar, upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is on the fire." So there they throw this part, the fat and all the inward parts, upon the wood on the fire, and it's burned up completely as sweet savor unto Yahuwah. And as I say again, the sweet savor, you lay your head upon the head, your hand upon the head of the sacrifice when it's killed, when its blood is shed there at the door of the tabernacle. Obedience, realizing the gravity of your sin, a true heart for holiness. This is the sweet savor to our Heavenly Father. And if his offering for a sacrifice, a peace offering unto Yahuwah, be of a flock, male or female, shall offer it without blemish. You know, of course, again, the best of your flock. You don't say, well, that one, you know, that one's kind of not very good looking, or it has this fault, or it's limping, so let's offer that one. No, you're supposed to offer it without blemish. You're supposed to bring the best of your flock, or don't even bother. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then he shall offer it before Yahuwah. And if he lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about upon the altar, and he shall offer it, offer of the sacrifice of his peace offering, an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah, the fat thereof, the whole rump, and it shall take off hard by the backbone, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards. And I guess if you're a butcher, you understand all this a little more than I would. And the two kidneys and the fat upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver and the kidneys, it shall take away, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto the Lord. And if his offering be a goat, and we have a lot of repetition here, so bear with me as we go through this. We're going to get a lot out of this as we go through this, and we go through it with patience. And I just, you know, I'm so thankful unto our Heavenly Father that for the revelation that He's given us today as we patiently go through His Word. And if he lay his hand upon its head and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about, and he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks and the caul above the liver and the kidneys, it shall he take away, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food, and there they use the same word as food for meat, as we read meat earlier. It is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is Yahuwah's. So all the fat and all the inward parts were to be thrown on the wood of the fire. All of it was not to be eaten. It shall be perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. And that's a good thing to adhere to even today. No fat, no blood. It certainly is a healthy thing. And I really do believe that this was given for their health more than anything else, because our Heavenly Father dearly cared for His children, and especially those that were willingly, voluntarily endeavoring to be obedient and understand the gravity of their sin by bringing the sacrifice. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, we're in chapter 4, verse 1, or verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of Yahuwah concerning things which ought not be done, and shall do against any of them, so a sin by ignorance here, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin which he has sinned a young bullock which without blemish unto Yahuwah for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before Yahuwah. So if you sin in ignorance, or the priest does any sin willingly, you have to willingly bring it, lay your hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before Yahuwah. And of course, the priest that is anointed shall take the bullock's blood and bring it into the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before Yahuwah, before the veil of the sanctuary. And we're going to pick up here when we get back for our next session. Don't go anywhere. Do visit my website, crosstheborder.org. There, find the email link to email me. I would like to hear from you.